Dear friends, just before we move on to the items before us today on this happy day, I just wanted to give testimony to the fact that I'm extremely grateful, I'm sure with you, for the glorious service that we were all part of last night. And in that regard, I want to thank the rector, Paul Donison, and the people of St. Peter and St. Paul. This is the third 2010, 2012, and now 2014, in which they have hosted us wonderfully, and they're good at it. So it's just keeps happening, and Paul himself as rector has offered incredible oversight, You see some of it, but there's a lot going on night and day and has been for months. And I will be thinking of a crazy thing and I'll send a text. And because of a servant's heart, instead of saying, whatever, or are you nuts, which would have been an understandable approach, I'd be overjoyed to work at that, including hockey shirts for. So that's a wonderful thing. So thank you. I wanted to say a word about the pectoral cross, which Archdeacon Desiree Stedman presented me with. It was her father, who was the Archbishop of Dublin in Ireland, Archbishop Alan Buchanan. He was made a Bishop of Clogher in Ireland in 1958, and this was the gift of his wife to become his pectoral cross. He became the Archbishop of Dublin in 1969, and he died in 1984. And I believe no one has worn this cross until last night. And so this is a huge joy and honor and a humbling thing. I just wanted to say that. Bishop Don, of course, transferred the cope, which is a very precious cope, took it off his own shoulders and placed it on mine with all the symbolism that implies. And I want you to know that I look forward to the day when I can do the same thing to a successor, and not tomorrow, but soon, very soon, very soon. And I also wanted to say the crozier, Bishop Trevor, Bishop Stephen, and I, all three received croziers when we were consecrated in 2009. And I hope to put a little plate or whatever which marks it. And so if this seems right, I hope to also transfer that crozier to the successor as that happens as well. We are continuing in Synod. This is not the beginning. This is the continuation. Someone has raised the issue that we concluded our last annual meeting with proroguing, which is Bishop Don was very wise, understanding that in fact prorogation means that if there was an emergency, that it would be possible to have a synod whereby we wouldn't have to start from scratch and all parishes have elections for delegates and so on. So that's the reason. Proroguing has had a bad press. But in fact, we are doing it for those reasons. And so we continue in session now. That is what we're doing. And we declared that at the beginning of our session. The rules of order have been circulated, and the Chancellor has reminded me that the bottom line, if there's any questions, it falls to King and Kerr as being the means in which he will lead us in terms of rules of order. Now, you will have received minutes from the Electronic Synod, which, of course, last year, 2013, we had three regional assemblies. That was wonderful, but we had to, by canon law, have an annual synod, which we did, which was an electronic one, and it was truly amazing that it was carried off, and we got through it, more than got through it. Now, there is, the minutes, there is one mistake. It should say that the minutes of 2012 synod be adopted. It says the Synod of 2013 at the second page. That should be noted. It's 2012 minutes. So I would like to request a motion to approve these minutes as I've amended them. Is there a mover? Brian? Is there a seconder? Archie, Dean Archie Pell? Are we ready for the vote? All in favor? Opposed? Carried? Thank you very much. Now, I'm going to call on Victoria Hewer, who is our Secretary to Synod, as also the chair of our Canons and Resolution Committee. And so, Victoria, would you come and lead us through these bylaw amendments?
Thank you, Bishop. Everybody, I believe, received in advance a copy of the two resolutions to amend the bylaws that have been proposed. So the first one that we will deal with is the resolution for an amendment. Be it resolved, wherever the word moderator appears in Article 5 of the Constitution, that it be replaced in each case with the words diocesan bishop. This has been moved by the Reverend Paul Donison and seconded by the Right Reverend Ronald Ferris. Does the mover wish to speak to the motion?
Paul Donison, please.
Thank you. This mic's on. Paul Donison, St. Peter and St. Paul's, Ottawa. I don't think I've met all of you yet. As Bishop Charlie said in his charge yesterday, with this transition from the term moderator to diocesan bishop, that, as to quote his charge, there were historical reasons in the past as to why that title, moderator, seemed appropriate for our founding diocesan bishop, but now it would seem appropriate to make this minor adjustment, which, quote, which I support, our bishop said yesterday. Without getting into lengthy history, within my 2-minute time allocation, we had a common cause partnership of which Archbishop Bob Duncan, not at that point Archbishop yet, still Bishop Bob Duncan, was the moderator of Common Cause. And as Anik grew up as part of that movement, it seemed appropriate to use the same title of moderator. Histories like this, we get different versions of what the intention was of that. But it seems now that since Bob Duncan dropped the title of moderator and became the Archbishop and Primate of the Anglican Church in North America, that we now, as a diocese within the Anglican Church in North America, would follow suit with the rest of the diocese and move to common language with them, seeing our diocesan bishop as diocesan bishop. Again, the key with this motion is there's nothing substantive in it, no powers have changed in this. Not calling him moderator anymore doesn't change anything legally. It simply is nomenclature. And as I said in the wording of the resolution, or at least in the notes to the resolution, this would bring us into what I would see as more common and recognizable Anglican parlance. I think the difficulty is the confusion, is we are trying to be a continuing movement, not a new movement. And so when we can use terminology that is consistent with what Anglicanism has been, it would seem appropriate to say, to show that we are truly part of a continuing movement. I remember back in 2010 when Bishop Michael Nazarelli, on at least 2 different occasions at our synod, got to poke fun at the title moderator, quite shocked and surprised, and looking at Bishop Don, dressed very similar to Bishop Charlie now in a purple cassock, and said, I don't think I've ever seen a moderator dressed like this. So just to say that I think that based on the governance report that was published last year, that this is in line with trying to keep us moving in the right direction as far as Anglican nomenclature is concerned. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Paul. Can I say, this is Victoria, this is microphone 1, and this is going to be microphone 2 if needed. And I realized that I missed an opportunity on something else, which I'll deal with later. Now, can I say, Bishop Ron, as the seconder, would you like to speak to this as well?
Simply to add that this suggestion came from you to the governance task force, from you, the people, and wide consultations with various agencies and bodies and arms of Anglican Network in Canada. And so this has come from you, and that's how it's really come to the floor as a recommendation also from the governance task force.
Thank you very much. And we are very grateful for the governance task force, as has been mentioned. And so this is part of that comes from that. Now, it's been moved and seconded. Are there any who would like to speak to the motion? Yes, sir. Microphone two, George. Please, could you identify yourself?
I'm George St. Clair from Church of the Messiah. I'm more or less in support of the motion. The only thing that causes me a little bit of reluctance about it is that it wasn't purely for historical reasons that the moderator was called the moderator, as the canons were being developed. It's no slight on our American brothers and sisters who are here. They're written into our canons. They're part of Anik, I guess, until Jesus comes back, and that's a great thing. But there was a vision that Don Harvey was the moderator for Canada, the Anglican Network in Canada. And as we were working on the canons and the governance thing, we wanted to try to preserve two types of things. One is that at some point in time we would become multiple dioceses, and and we couldn't just call him an archbishop without other types of things being done. And the second thing was just to keep before us the vision of the day when 90% of Canada is within a 15-minute drive of a biblically faithful, gospel-sharing Anglican Network in Canada Church. And so that if another diocese from the Anglican Church of Canada was to join us, that it wouldn't be a bishop equal to Don that now had to sort out what we were going to be like, but that they would join us with a clear sense that Bishop Harvey was to be over them, so to speak. And so there has been lots of confusion because we are one diocese, so I am, you know, I'm supportive of it. I'm just reluctant. I just feel a bit sad that we lose. I just hope we don't lose that other bigger type of vision. And as you know, when Bishop Bob Duncan came to speak to the Anik Council, I urged him to consider making Don Harvey an archbishop before Bishop Harvey retired, because I think Canada is different. It's not, with all due respect to ACNA, and I love being part of ACNA, but Canada is not just another diocese in ACNA. So I'm mildly supportive of it. I'm glad I had a chance to speak that we need to keep the vision alive that, you know, now it's you, not Bishop Harvey, but if another diocese joins us, they join us. And I just do not think they should be viewed in a sense as an equal, that they join us.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Are there further, Bishop Trevor?
I share George's sentiments absolutely. We have a challenge in being in a marriage to the United States. Trying to get your voice when you're married to someone in the United States is...
Do you have some experience in...
I would be grateful for any counsel I could get after this event. When we joined the ANIC, ACNA, we had the safety, the sense of being recognized as something quite significant, because there was an archbishop who was from the US and the dean was from Canada. Now look what's just happened. We now have four deans and a new archbishop, and none of those deans are now Canadian. So our voice has already disappeared in terms of the top rank of leadership in the ACNA. I really seriously worry about losing the influence of saying that we are more than just one of 60 dioceses. Do we really want to just say that we're just one of 60 dioceses? I think that we will eventually emerge as a new province, and I think we need to be postured for that. And so there's a humility in saying we should let go of the title of moderator. But politically, I think, you know, I I would like my wife to have as much voice as me and me to have as much voice as her.
Thank you very much. Are there others who would like to speak to the motion? Sir.
Gary Graber, Church of Messiah, Ottawa. I'm just curious if this is something that if we pass today, we might need to, given what the previous two speakers have said, that we might need to undo in 3 or 4 years from now. If that's a possibility, I would see no reason, maybe it'd be advantageous to hold off on supporting this, not because it's substantive or anything like that, but just as far as the founding documents that don't need to be changed, rechanged, rechanged again. So, thank you.
Thank you very much. I think that we've got two people coming, so I'll acknowledge microphone two and then microphone one. Archdeacon, you're microphone two.
We, the people of the United States of America. My brothers and sisters, when I think of the family that we are a part here, I don't think of you as my Canadian cousins. I think of you as my diocesan family. And we are part of a movement that God has raised up among many common cause partners. If it's sometimes hard to have a voice when you're married to the United States, don't be intimidated by that, but stand up and make yourself known for the gospel as one diocese within a provincial movement that has been called by God to change the culture of North America and bring it back to Jesus Christ.
Dean.
Archie Pell. I think that in response to the business, what will we have to undo it? I think in the future, the undoing would be changing from bishop to archbishop, at least as a sub-province. So I don't think changing the name moderator now is going to be a problem. I don't see it being resurrected, but I see archbishop being brought back.
Thank you very much. Any other...
Klaus Lenk, Christ the King, Toronto. I would like to speak against the motion. I empathize with George's comments. I think it's not only tradition and a legacy that we called it moderator, but I'm mostly concerned about a whole Canadian diocese joining us and the implications of that, and keeping the name moderator would make it much more easy and provide a structure for them to join.
Thank you very much. Any other comments or questions? If you do so, then I think you're calling for the vote at the same... Oh, we've got Sir, one, and Archdeacon.
Archdeacon Daryl Critch. I just want to remind us that our bishop has concurred with this and would be just as grateful that we drop the title of moderator. I just want to remind us, in deference to you, Your Grace. And I don't think, in actual fact, if a Canadian diocese were to join, they wouldn't be joining us. They would be joining the province. I don't know how they could join us.
Are you asking?
I guess I am. I mean, if they were to join us, presumably, then that bishop would become an assistant bishop in the Diocese of the Anglican Network in Canada. But if they were to want to remain the Diocese of Toronto, then the Diocese of Toronto would join the Anglican Church in North America and be one of now 61 dioceses.
I agree with that. Robin. Yeah.
Robin Guinness, assisting at Christ the King, Toronto. I'd like to propose an amendment that this be referred to the Diocesan Council.
Okay. So you've moved that it be referred to the Diocesan Council?
Correct.
Okay, is there a seconder to that amendment? George Sinclair. Okay, we've had a mover and a seconder for an amendment. So now we've moved to talking about the amendment. We set aside. Bishop Ron, did you want to speak?
It's actually a move to refer is not an amendment. It's a move to refer, and
thank you.
You actually, I believe you have a vote on it right away.
Without
debate.
Chancellor, do we have a without any debate?
I wasn't clear what the motion was. I thought it was a motion to amend.
No, it was described as an amendment, but it was to...
It's not an amendment.
Yes, sir.
It's a proposal. This be referred to the Dawson Council.
Okay,
it's a referral to. Right.
Is that correct?
Yes.
To refer to the Dawson...
That's what you mean, Robin. You want to have it... You're calling for it to be referred to the Diocesan Council, which is not
correct.
An amendment.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Yes.
There can be no debate on
I think
it.
I'm in the deep end here, folks.
Point of order, but the Diocesan Council doesn't have the authority to amend canons. That's something that belongs to the Synod, and I think that we ought to do it as a Synod.
It's a motion to refer... And that there's usually no debate upon it. Obviously, the Diocesan Council cannot.
I'm going to ask the Chancellor to make a ruling on this at this point, please.
Yeah, if it's
you
clear
need to come to the microphone.
If it's clear that it's a motion to refer, is that what it is?
Yes.
Refer it back what to the Diocesan Council?
That is correct.
All right. Well, if you look at the rules 7.5, it says when a motion is being considered, no other motion shall be received, except, and it lists, and one of it is to refer it. Right, so that we can receive that, which takes precedent. We stop the substantive motion and deal with the procedural motion to refer. If you look at 7.7, though, it says, motions to adjourn or adjourn the debate shall be decided without debate. But all other motions, this can be debated. So the motion to refer is debatable.
Thank you very much. So do we have any discussion on the...
Part of the work of a synod is to... deliberate. And it was a recommendation of the Governance Task Force that we spend one-third of our time in celebration, one-third in information, and one-third in deliberation. So I think that it's part of being a diocesan family rather than a movement. As we move from being a movement to a diocesan family, that we have a lot of two-way communication, that there's a lot of participatory decision-making. And so our synods need to, according to the Governance Task Force, go from the face of being sort of rallies like we had during the Days of Essentials to being a family dinner table where we can work things out. So if we keep referring these things back to council, we never have that opportunity to deliberate and to share as a whole family in making those decisions. So I would argue against the motion to refer. And let's have a little conversation. Let's have people here say what they want and then live with the outcome that we come to as a family, not be referring it back.
Thank you very much. Are there any?
I can, since it's now the motion to refer, I can speak again.
Yes.
Actually, the motion to refer is precisely to do what Ron is urging. So when I made my comment, I thought I was the only one. And I think people didn't realize that it's not just a mere language difference, but there's potential strategic differences in the language. If it's just a mere language change, it should just be done. But in fact, if there is the opening up different strategic and other types of issues, then the motion should come back to the floor of Synod where that can be properly discussed. And so nothing's lost by postponing it for a year. It goes back to council. Maybe you have, you know, a conversation of different sides of the issue. Maybe in the meantime, ACTA makes you an archbishop and then it's completely and utterly moot under a separate province. But in fact, what Ron has asked for is what precisely the motion to refer allows to happen. We're allowed to then have a proper discussion around the strategic and language and practical issues. That's why I urge us to move to refer. We discuss it next year.
Thank you very much. David.
David Gibbs, Annick Council and Open Gate Church, Victoria, BC. Just, I'm a bit perplexed by the motion to refer. Simply because the work of the task force that the bishop that this synod commissioned last year, and that was accepted, the substantive motion that's before the meeting today has already been discussed, debated, and recommended to go forward to the synod by the Annick Council. So it's. It's going to be, we're risking a back and forth and getting nothing done. And I speak against the motion to refer simply because Annick Council has already looked at this and said this is something that needs to go to Synod. And as Synod, we are the governing body of this diocese. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. And then microphone one, word, microphone two.
I oppose the motion for the very reasons that George gave to be in favor of it. If it's strategic, it should be discussed and discussed fully here at Synod, and Synod should make the decision. The council is strictly ongoing business between synods. Synod is where the strategic things are discussed, hashed out, and then decided upon.
Thank you very much. Sir.
Alistair Stern, St. Peter's Fireside. I'm a young Anglican. I'm ignorant about titles and stuff. If you want to be called Super Bishop, I'd call you Super Bishop. For some of us here, can you explain the nuance between moderator and diocesan bishop? Because I'm not privy to some of this, why we chose moderator. So I'm not quite understanding why it's such a big deal. So that would be helpful to us.
Okay. I'm not sure I'll do it to the satisfaction of everyone, but I'll just say that when the network was heading towards being an ecclesial body, we were not there yet. And we needed to have a title which was appropriate for Bishop Don to give leadership in the event that this was possible. And so the moderator, because we didn't have, we weren't an ecclesial body, so it couldn't be a diocesan bishop or whatever. And Archbishop Gregg, of course, was our primate in that regard. Once that happened, and we were under the Southern Cone, then it took on nuances which had to do with a national body and the fact that in the event that, as has been described, there were more dioceses that joined or whatever, would this leader have some measure of jurisdiction or leadership accordingly? And that's what's being suggested. The other side of it is that we're not only in Canada, we're also in New England, which is why there's the discussion as to when we talk that way, does it take seriously the fact that part of our family is in the States? So all those things are part of it. I think the discussion as to moderator, there are in the moderator of the Church of South India, the moderator of the Church of North India, but those are, and they're part of the Anglican Communion, but those are not specifically, typically known as Anglican titles. And so this is about normalizing and establishing some measure of credibility, you know, as Anglicans, etc. But does it, what the debate is, whether or not it takes seriously our large geographical nature and the potential of what's happening in the future. I think that's what's being discussed. And so what's been the motion before us now is to refer, and I am going to call for a vote on the referral at this time. And this is just simply to refer to the council, and then we get back according to what happens. All in favor? No, we have to do this by house, do we? Oh, not for the referral. Okay. So all in favor of the motion to refer to Annick Council, please signify with the lifting of your cards. All against? That motion to refer has clearly been defeated. So we're now back to the motion, which is whether or not to drop the name moderator or not. Are there any further who would like to speak to this? Are you coming to the microphone, Jeff? Please.
Jeff Chapman from Sojourn Church. Like Alistair, a little bit trying to understand the issues, but as I'm understanding what's been said, the whole issue with the term moderator was to make sure that should other groups join, including potentially a whole diocese, it would be very clear that our current bishop, you, would be essentially in charge. I'm just trying to get clarity. That's really the issue we're trying to decide.
I think
at this moment.
That is now the issue. I don't think historically that was all that was discussed. It was because of other things, and that's what I was referring to in my charge. But at this stage, I believe what is being debated is a strategic issue of whether or not there's something unique about Canada and whether or not the Diocesan Bishop of Anik should have some measure of leadership for everything in the event that that was to happen.
In which case, I would like to say, as someone from an interesting background, seeing God doing things in the church, I would strongly support making sure that our diocesan bishop, our moderator at this point, would have authority and be recognized as different from any other group that may join us.
Okay, thank you very much. We have Bishop Stephen, and then Dave.
Stephen Dung, I speak in favor to the motion. It's because I do appreciate the strategic position implication of the moderator. But I think the issue should be down to the road of 2 years, we should immediately move into the future growth of ANIC, whether we're going to have multiple dioceses and with the Archbishop. That should be the focus, not retaining the moderator right at this point of time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I believe it would be a comment.
Your name, could you introduce yourself,
Dave,
sir?
Kemp from Eternal Hope Anglican. The question I have is there a working understanding, if not in writing, that if an existing group, we'll say just as it's been referred to, the Diocese of Toronto decides to come as a group, right, if that were to happen, is there an existing agreement with ACNA that they could only enter into under the umbrella of our existing diocesan bishop?
No.
Or do they come into the province of ACNA and we now have two existing provinces within the country?
There is no stipulation, no document, no understanding on that issue that I'm aware of. I think that we're discussing something which is of interest to us. But I don't believe that ACNA has any. I think so it is entirely possible that a diocese could come, and they would be a diocese in ACNA, as are we.
Yeah, and I think that would be problematic if we're going to be recognized as a diocesan of Canada. There is borders there in that sense, even legally, I think.
Okay, that's yes, if the Chancellor would like to speak at this point, and then we've got two people at the microphones.
Obviously, I'm not speaking to the merits of this, just the legal situation. The Bishop is correct. There is no understanding in writing or verbal. We are a diocese with a bishop in the Anglican tradition, and we are a diocese of a province called the Anglican Church in North America. If there are a group of Canadians, some part of Canada, for instance, the example of a group of people in Toronto who want to form a new diocese, they would apply to ACNA as a diocese if they want to become a diocese. And it would be the decision of the province, and obviously with clear consultation with us, whether that would be appropriate that this group of people should come in geographically as a separate diocese. I just want you to know that's the legal situation, and that's where we're at. And therefore, the traditional Anglican structure is province, archbishop, bishop, diocese bishop, parish priest. I'm not interfering in the merits of it. I'm just saying that is where you are, just so you all understand, that's where we are legally, to answer that gentleman's question.
I know Eric's ahead, but it's a point of order for the Chancellor. Just because we're talking about various things and there's different understandings here about what we're doing today, just with your legal opinion, point of order, there's nothing that we can enact as a diocesan synod that would ensure anything about what the ACNA would do as a province. Just point of order. We can't make decisions today and say by keeping a title or losing a title or changing a title that somehow legally binds the ACNA to do anything. We are limited to what we have the authority to do as a diocese. Am I correct? Just point of order.
That's correct. Our constitution and canons, everything we do, is subject to the provincial canons. So the provincial canons govern the admission of people and dioceses and so on. So you're correct. Any motion here to try to deal with this substantively in terms of people coming in on some other kind of arrangement other than the provincial structure, in my opinion, would be invalid. I mean, you could pass the motion, you can do whatever you want, but I think it would be contradictory clearly with the provincial canons, and therefore the provincial canons would prevail. So I think the answer is such a motion would be out of order, I think, certainly unconstitutional.
Okay, I'd like to let microphone one.
Eric Thurston, Church of Good Shepherd, Vancouver.
Yes.
Can you just give us an idea, if we give you the hypothetical that a number of churches were going to join us, surely there must be something more than a term which would give you authority over them. I mean, this would be one of a number of things, right? How would that work itself out? You know, terminology aside, there must be something more official than that that would actually give you official authority over them. Is that right?
I'm not sure there is. Okay. I think what I know of in terms of the Anglican Church in North America is that congregations can band together and appeal if they meet the criteria of at least 10 churches that are over 50, an ASA of over 1,000, and so on. They can appeal to become first a diocese in formation and then a diocese. And it's true that nothing we would do here today will change those facts. I think if people are interested as to how what I'm thinking or feeling in terms of this, what I would say is that I think we're talking about goodwill. I think it's legitimate to talk about strategy. We're trying to get a sense of looking down the line what would be best. But there may be things that we don't have control of, and they might not work out the way we decide or not. And I guess what's at stake here is whether or not maintaining the name moderator in any way secures a possible future or whether it doesn't.
Right.
I think that's what's being discussed. And I just want to also say that though I'm if people are wondering, I'm not unhappy we're having this discussion. I think it's a worthwhile discussion because we're looking down the line, and I think that's important. So did you say everything? Sir?
Bartimeo Mountain Valley Mission, in reality, and in fact, when the ACNA stood up, there was two Canadian dioceses. And because of my heart for John 17 Unity, some of our churches from ACIC have come and joined with ACNA. And it's our prayer that eventually the rest of them will do the same too. But so, I mean, it's a moot question. I mean, you're totally right about the 12 churches and
yes.
And 1,000. So there was two Canadian dioceses when we started.
Yeah. That's very helpful, Barclay.
Trevor Walters, I was a former chair of the province's overlapping jurisdictions committee. And one of the things we've discovered is that in some areas of the United States, particularly, there are 17 dioceses that overlap in a geographic area. And that is utter chaos and confusion, and it's deeply conflicted. We are, as a province, we have a geographic basis with affinity basis on top of that. And we are currently, as a province, trying to find a way forward to deal with what is a deeply conflicted issue. It's second only to women's ordination. And so this conversation is, we're thinking about it in the light of affinity and geography. And therefore, it's a very important discussion for the future of the province. Canada, as Barclay was pointing out, is extremely unique. We currently only have four jurisdictions that overlap in Canada. And we're on wonderful terms with the Reformed Episcopal Church. In fact, we are functioning almost as if we've become one already. We've already received almost half of the churches from ACIC into our membership. So our issue, we don't see this as an issue in Canada because it's a relatively non-issue for us. But it will be a huge issue if we get four or five dioceses applying to the province and going directly to Archbishop Foley and being under his authority. Now, Canada is going to be profoundly fragmented. And although the moderator term is it's an equivalent term to an archbishop, it has no moral authority. It has no legal authority. It has moral authority. And I'm afraid of losing that moral authority that implies that our bishop is the one that needs to be the senior bishop in Canada. Otherwise, we're setting up, it's going to be a real mess in Canada if we haven't thought this down the road.
Thank you very much.
Sir. Jess Cantillon, St. James in Lenoxville. I just, my understanding of this whole process was that, you know, as Bishop Don and Archbishop Bob were traveling the world, having discussions with primates, that it came to their knowledge that it would be better for one province rather than two from the outset. And so we said, we will go with you. You're larger. We will go with you. But it makes us unique beyond all other dioceses. And I think that it's, you know, I think we're, one, not trusting Archbishop Foley. I think we've all had this understanding that there's some unwritten agreements that have happened, but we have nothing in writing. And so we're feeling vulnerable, right? We're feeling like, what's going to happen now that Archbishop Foley, was he around? He wasn't at those meetings. We're going to be in a situation where somebody else could come up. We've paid a pretty large price for the, you know, however long. So I'm definitely in support of keeping the name moderator, at least, or super bishop, something like that to signify that. It would be helpful to us if there was something in writing, if we could talk to the ACNA and say, please put something in writing, just to acknowledge. I mean, you've all acknowledged that we're special. We get a lot of the bishops come to our events because they understand that we're a special case. But I think it's quite a scary situation.
Thank you very much.
Robin Guinness, Christ the King Assistant. Toronto, would it not be wise to retain the name moderator because it speaks of something that is unique to Canada? Moderator has now been dropped by ACNA. If we retain it, would it not be an added advantage when these future debates take place, if a whole diocese was wanting to join ANIC, would not having that title moderator be a stepping stone, if you like, to developing the right relationship with that diocese, that our bishop would be head over that whole conglomeration?
Thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to...
just to remind you, David spoke to the referral.
He spoke to the referral.
He's been there all
the time. Okay, so David, you can speak. And then, Ron, the people who are up now, it's, I'm going to suggest that we move to a motion to the calling of the word. You can speak if you'd like to, Archdeacon. Please.
I'll be quick. David Gibbs, ANIC Council, Open Gate Church, Victoria, B.C. I'm going to be a little provocative and suggest that on some level, the idea that the Anglican Network in Canada, the Diocese of the Anglican Network in Canada, that is what we are called, is any more or less special than any other diocese in the Anglican Church of North America, save the fact that because we have relatively small numbers in terms of congregations and size of congregations, we as a diocese cover a large geographic area. And I do think there is some arrogance in even suggesting that if another full diocese currently within the geographic borders of Canada wished to join our movement, that this title moderator would give us any more clout in them seeing that they would come under us. I can pretty well guarantee you any existing diocese wanting to come into ACNA in all likelihood would probably have no interest in coming under the banner of the Anglican Network in Canada in any other way than another diocese is working cooperatively with us within the ACNA. We are talking at this point more about words then we're talking about anything of substance. And if in some time in the future we grow to such a strength as we have multiple dioceses and we look at some kind of a sub-province, we can bring this conversation up at that time. But in my view, it really isn't something that separates us from our other Anglican brothers and sisters in the ACNA. And I think at this point, we need to be taking every step that can show, demonstrate, and speak the language of unity with our brothers and sister dioceses.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can I remind people to try to hold to 2 minutes, please, Archdeacon?
Bishop Charlie, Ron Corcoran, Church of Our Lord in Victoria. When I looked at this motion coming through, I thought it was going to take 2.7 seconds to pass it. I can't believe we're having this discussion this long. And I don't know what authority... having moderator or, I mean, even if we use the term presiding bishop, I mean, that's a very valid term within Anglicanism. Moderator is not a regular term for us, but presiding bishop would certainly be a very valid. It's just a suggestion. I don't want to make any amendments or anything like that because I don't want to prolong the conversation. But the whole purpose behind it is to say that we recognize you as the person who is the archbishop or presiding bishop of the Canadian Annick Church. Amen.
Thank you very much, sir.
Wes Walker, St. Peter, St. Paul. It is with great hesitation that I even venture to raise my points here, but addressing such a group as this. It occurs to me as we discuss this that there are two aspects to this conversation. One is the value and role of the word moderator itself and the implications, and the other, which I must admit concerns me on rather a great deal, is how we are speaking of our belonging to Canada and America and some of the, it seems almost a spillover of our, as Canadian, our insecurities in dealing with Americans on a political level and being in their shadow politically and economically, et cetera. And I'm hoping that, especially in light of the conversation that the presentation we heard this morning about the kingdom of God, I am hoping that will not be how we approach this question in that light, because we are not standing here principally as Canadians or Americans, and I would remind us that Americans belong within our fellowship from New England, but it would and on our own staff. But I would appeal to you to view this question as it has been raised in the light of the presentation we heard this morning as Kingdom of God, and how that looks from that perspective and not our national or any other temporal perspective.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And Archdeacon Tim, this will bring our debate to a close.
Okay.
And then, yes, please.
Tim Perron, St. Luke's Pembroke, amen to what was just said. And pray God that the Diocese of Toronto will join us. I just want to speak strongly in favor of the motion. I think it's appropriate for the reasons that have been said, but also to say that voting for this motion to me does not diminish the concern that Bishop Trevor and others have raised about overlapping jurisdictions and those kinds of things. But I think they're a separate issue that whether we change the term now or not, we still will have to deal with many issues about that. And I would prefer, as I think it was Bishop Stephen said, that we'd look then at perhaps a term of archbishop. And, you know, we deal with that when we get there, that the Lord has led us step by step to this point.
Yes.
And I think taking this action will not materially change the issues that we're going to have to face in the future if others are prepared to join us.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Do you want to speak to close the motion, sir?
As the mover and seconder, we get the right to speak twice. Just to say that though I obviously have a bias towards Americans, as I have two American priests on my staff, we are loved in the ACNA, and I really want to resonate what Wes Walker said a moment ago. Language of fear came up earlier. I can't remember who raised it, and I think there is fear in this discussion, and we need to realize that perfect love casts out fear. We had seven ACNA bishops here last night. We had our archbishop here, and they weren't here sort of begrudgingly. Like Bishop Charlie said, you know, as the host rector, I get to see a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff that not everybody gets to see. These men are overjoyed to be here, talking about the vital role that Canada had. When we had the shooting here 2 weeks ago, I was called by four different ACNA bishops within 3 or 4 hours of the shooting. And they prayed with us. They said, we stand with you. I've never heard Americans stand with us like that before. Something is changing in this North American province. And so this motion, the reason that it began growing in my heart was a desire for us to communicate, actually, to the ACNA, that we don't think we're special. That we are, Bishop Charlie is one diocesan bishop among many. And by the way, with great love to my brother, Bishop Trevor, you said the term 60 dioceses? 60 bishops, thank you. It's 29 dioceses. We have a diocesan bishop among many diocesan bishops, and I think that's important that we communicate that. We are stronger as a part of this North American province. We're very small without being part of this, and I'm just overjoyed at what's been happening. And just to say I think the bigger questions down the road about how we can communicate with the province, about some of our questions, where do we stand and what would be the protocols, we have our bishops in the College of Bishops to speak to that already. There's no motions required at one level. They speak for us in the College of Bishops. And I trust and I implore them to continue to speak on behalf of Canada and speak into those questions. But if this synod decides down the road that we need to send a memorandum to the Anglican Church in North America through a separate motion, we could do that. We could, as a synod, could discuss it. We could have someone send it in time for resolutions to be discussed. We could talk about it and send a great memorandum saying, here's just what we're thinking. We could share that. So there's an opportunity for do this. This motion is about regulating us and saying we stand truly as one diocese within this glorious thing that God is doing in North America and within the Global Fellowship of Confessing Anglicans.
Thank you very much. Okay, now we're going to go to the call for the motion. Now, Victoria has reminded me that this requires votes by House. So it was moved by clergy, therefore, and bishops, I think, are part of that. Is that correct? So I know bishops are clergy, but I know. I don't know much, but I know that.
You can be a separate class if you want. You are a separate class. The moderator, still as you call him, is a separate class. You can choose to be in the bishops and just vote, or you could vote as a separate class.
I didn't mean me. I meant the bishops themselves. Okay, so So very good. So we're going to start with clergy. All in favor of the motion to drop the name moderator? Okay, would you put down your hands? Those opposed? This motion in the House of Clergy has clearly passed. Now in the laity, all in favor of the motion, hands signified, please. Okay, thank you very much. Those opposed, please signify. Okay, the motion has been upheld and passed in both houses, and therefore it stands. Thank you very much. Can I just say two things? One is, in my mind as we were going through it, I'm grateful for the concerns, and I think that this has been a very worthwhile discussion. And I think, as has been said, there are things that we need to address and think about in terms of our relationship to ACNA. And so that's been a favorable outcome, I believe, that will happen. The second thing to say is I did an interview with Anglican TV just before this session, and Kevin Carlson called it moderator for a day. and I was panicking at one sense that I was going to have to phone him and say, can that interview? Because, so anyway, I'm in that regard, I'm sorry I was presumptuous. I didn't say that it was going to pass. I simply said that, in fact, it was going to be discussed. It was his idea to call up moderator for a day. Now, I want to call on Archbishop Greg and Sylvia. I had promised them to give them a moment just to ask for our prayer, and I, as is my custom, I totally forgot at the appointed hour. I do apologize, Your Grace, but please come.
Charlie.
Phew. Thank you very much.
Charlie.
I have to receive forgiveness all the time.
Bishop, can I just...
Before we we're going to be very, very brief, in Argentine style, right? Can I just say before we say what we want to say, that this is not a new situation, what you've been discussing. I've been working with the church in Latin America where we've had national churches dealing together in a province and sometimes not with all the love and friendship that we've been hearing about. And so we have to face this. You know, we've got a situation when we're trying to develop the concept of national churches without losing the concept of diocese. But it's always going to be there. So this is not a problem. It's just something you have to sort through. The problem comes, as I was saying the other night, when there's no dialogue. The problem comes when, you know, oh, no, we've done that. You know, so, you know, the door's open if you don't like it. And we're not talking about that. So it's not a... It's good.
Yes.
It's good.
Thank you very much.
That's all right. So you are now immoderate. Or...
Yeah. I have a jacket that says extreme on it. It's extreme. So.
Extremely nice, we say. Yeah, very nice. Anyway, Sylvia and I just want to say very, very briefly that out of everything that's happened over these last many years now, one of the best things is our opportunity to be a part of all of you and your opportunity to be a part of us. And that's absolutely awesome because it has to do with what we were listening to earlier on today about the kingdom of God. And part of the problem of being in the kingdom of God at the moment is when you live a long, long way away. We're down at the ends of the earth and we just want to say thank you. Thank you for your friendship and your fellowship. Thank you for caring about us and everything that we stand for down there. And thank you very especially for praying for us. Please do keep on praying for us. Sylvia and I have been down there now since January 1978. That's 36 years. The first night Sylvia told me she was going back the next morning. It was 42 degrees and we'd come out of snowy London. And she said, Greg, I love you. I love the Lord, but I can't live here. I'm very, very sorry. And she stayed now for 36 years. On Sunday, Remembrance Sunday, we celebrate 45 years of having met. Mm-hmm. On Remembrance Sunday, that's good, isn't it? Remembrance Sunday.
Yeah,
that
remember.
Way I get to remember it. You know? And we've been there 36, we've been married 44 years, we've been there 36 years. Our girls are married to Anglican priests, missionary priests in Paraguay. Our son is serving the Lord there too. We've got 6 Latin American grandchildren, 3 Bolivians, 3 Paraguayans. That means that's where we're going to end up, you know, when we finally retire in a few years' time. That's going to be where we are. But do pray for us and for our family and for the work of the Lord down there. These are not easy days, but then if you read the New Testament, you know, it's never going to be anything other than blood, sweat, tears, and glory. So we just wanted to say that. Now Sylvia will say the last words.
Okay. Well, a few people have said to me, "Oh, you read the Bible a lot, don't you?" And one or two have actually confessed that they don't. So I said to someone last night, "Why don't you read Psalm 19 tonight? You know, it's a good start because it tells you what the Word of God does for you. It brightens your eyes, makes you wise, brings joy to your heart, all sorts of good things." Anyway, I was thinking about her this morning. I thought, oh, I wonder if I'll ever see her again. And funnily enough, I did. And she said, oh, it was very long, wasn't it, that psalm? And I said, well, it's not too bad. It's only about 14 verses. She said, oh, no, this was terribly long, what you told me. Anyway, you can guess, she'd read Psalm 190. So I said, well, that's all right, because they're the two in the Bible. They're easy to remember, 19 and 119. They're about the word of God, so you made a good start. Anyway, she said, wow, that's really good, really good. So she's going to read Psalm 19 now. And today, just to major in what, if anything, has made me wise, it's the word of God, I'd like to just share Daily Light. Now, many of you may know Daily Light. It was written by the Baxter family about well over 200 years ago now, and they were a family who read the Bible morning and night, and I think there were 12 sons or 10 sons got to know the Word of God so well that they could sort of throw out lyrics, if you like Lennon McCartney, you know, and do a theme. And as a result, Daily Light was written. So I'd just like to read Daily Light for today to see how the Word of God speaks to us, especially in view of the very good Bible study that we heard. Who was it? Keith, is it?
Yes.
Keith. Thank you, Keith. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you. The people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. He predestined us to be adopted to as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. How attractive and beautiful they will be. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have been made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Now, how does that fit in with Keith's? Brilliant. That's the word of God for you. Thank you.
Can we just pray for the two of you at this time?
Yeah.
Bless you.
Lord Jesus, we thank you today for Archbishop Greg and Sylvia Venables. We thank you for your faithfulness to their family and for the way the ministry goes forward through them in a wonderful way. We thank you for your faithfulness on that dark Sunday when they were attacked, and you not only protected them from more serious injury, but also even worked particularly in one of those perpetrators of this act. We send them out confident in your coverage by the blood of Jesus, praying that you would give much wisdom and the leading of the church in these days in Argentina. And we pray for not only your protection, but your blessing, your provision, and for a wonderful harvest, and that glory would go to the King.
Yes, Lord.
We pray in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen.
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 Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bless you both. Thank you.
You're right, darling. Okay.
God bless. Now, there's one more motion. Thank you.
So not only are we going to learn to love the law of the Lord, we're also going to learn to love the law of constitutions and canons. We now have another motion before us, which is to amend the canons. We've just passed the motion to amend the Constitution, but they go hand in hand. The Constitution is the document that goes above the canons and bylaws. So this motion, resolution, be it resolved that wherever the following words on the left column appear in the canons, they are to be replaced in each case by the corresponding words on the right column below opposite them. So moderator would be replaced by diocesan bishop. Moderators would be replaced by diocesan bishops. Interim moderator would be replaced by interim diocesan bishop. Moderator elect would be replaced by diocesan bishop elect. Section 1, Article 1.4.1hi of the canons to be amended by deleting the first line and replacing it with the following. The diocesan bishop is the chief pastor and bishop of Anik and shall be the chair and presiding officer.
Thank you very much.
Motion is moved by the Reverend Paul Donison and seconded by the Right Reverend Ronald Ferris.
Now, with permission, I'm going to ask that perhaps you not speak to that motion, and that I think we've already dealt with it in substance. And I would like to recommend that we go right to the vote, which means I assume that we also need to go in houses. Is that correct? So that means clergy first. All in favor of supporting this motion, hands up. Thank you very much. Opposed? Okay, that's passed in the House of Clergy and the laity. All in favor of this motion, please. Opposed? It's carried. Thank you very much. So we now have dealt with that. Well then, please be seated. Please be seated. I'm going to juggle our order a little bit, and I'm going to call on the Reverend Mike Stewart. This has to do with nominations. Mike, would you come and speak to it? One of the microphones. This is the Reverend Mike Stewart of St. Matthew's Abbotsford and the chair of the Nominations Committee. Mike, would you bring your report?
Thank you. Thank you, Bishop Charlie. I can report that there were no further nominations for the positions of Annick Council.
Okay, so that means, thank you very much, that means that all who are nominated have been installed in their position as Annick Council by acclamation. Now, let's just pray for our council. Lord Jesus, we thank you for godly people who have been raised up over the years to give leadership in our Annick Council. And so for this new group, we thank you for everyone, praying that you would quiet their hearts, give them much wisdom under the leading of the Holy Spirit to help give leadership to the things that are before us as a diocese, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. Now I'd like to call on Michael Bentley. We're now moving on to finances. He's our treasurer, and we're very grateful.
Good morning.